This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode contains explicit language. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, May 18th, the Put Your Tongue Away edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10 and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another show. It's called The Best Advice Show. And I am dad to Noah, who's 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
And I'm Maribel Quesada-Smith, a video and podcast producer. I also co-host the Pulso podcast. I'm a mom to Renzi, who's 2, almost 3, and we live in Phoenix.
Thank you for joining us, Maribel.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Today on the show, we have a question about a kid who licks everything. We're talking clothing, counters, and even windows. Our letter writer is trying to be cool about her daughter tasting the world, but can't quite stomach it. We will, of course, also talk about our week in parenting. Then on Slate Plus, psychologists claim to have found the best way to raise happy kids, but the methods are unpopular. Here's a sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
Finding that balance is an interesting question of like what is coddling them and what is loving them and where's the middle ground.
There are times when I'm thinking about the future and I wonder, God, if somebody ever hurts my kid, I swear to God.
Right.
Like, that's how I feel. I'm very protective and I don't want him to be hurt. Of course I don't. But I think I need to learn that that's just part of life for him to be able to solve problems on his own and deal with his friends and learn how to set his own boundaries as well.
Being a Slate Plus member means you get a bonus segment from us each week, unlimited access to the Slate website, and perhaps best of all, zero ad interruptions. You can sign up for Slate Plus now at slate.com/momanddadplus. Okay, we're going to dive into our triumphs and fails of the week, but not before a quick break. See you here in a second.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back. Zach, what's going on with you this week? Do you have a triumph or a fail?
It's been fail-y on my end. I was out of town last week doing some work. Prior to that, Ami, he got sick. I mentioned it last week's show. He had some kind of virus. He was throwing up a lot. He recovered. And then like the morning I left for my work trip, I started feeling crappy. I got whatever he had. And then I was like on this field reporting trip, feeling awful, made it home okay, handed it off to Noah, not my work, but the virus, whatever I had. And then so like Ami missed all of last week's school and then Noah got sick this weekend. So it was just in time for her to miss yesterday's school. And now my wife is en route to a conference in New Orleans, where she's speaking on this big panel. I'm so excited for her. And of course, on the eve of the conference, she started to feel awful.
It's just been
the baton of some kind of ambiguous virus. It's not COVID. It's been fine. she's feeling better. I felt better after 24 hours. Noah's back at school. So everyone's doing okay. Ami's back at school. But there has just been, you know, that terrible thing where it's like someone needs to be sick at every moment for like two consecutive weeks. That's where we're at. But I hope that this is the end of this current one, and that Shira is able to make it through her keynote without throwing up in front of a room full of physicians. So yeah, I mean, we're okay. Grateful that it's not more serious, but you know, it always stinks when everyone's sick.
You can't call that a fail, though. I mean, we get sick, our kids get sick, yeah. They get us sick.
Yeah, yeah. It's a body fail, but of course.
Body fail.
Yeah. But I'm starting to feel better. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Maribel? Do you have a triumph or a fail for us?
I definitely have a fail. I feel like I totally failed as a mom over the last couple of weeks. We just got back from 3 weeks of travel. We were on vacation and we spent 3 weeks in Mexico. And I know people are going to be like, oh, poor you. But let me explain. Yeah. Let me explain. So I think that 3 weeks is way too long for a toddler or for an almost 3-year-old to be out of their routine. And I learned that lesson the hard way, because we were in Mexico and we were in 3 different locations. So 3 different bedrooms, 3 different bed setups, different people everywhere. And he had a blast. But the problem was that he was so overly tired and just exhausted from not having his routine that he was even more whiny than normal. And he was super attached to me, like to the point where he wouldn't hang out with his grandma. Usually him and my mom are tight and he'll go wherever with her. He didn't want to leave my sight. He was always like wanting to be with me everywhere I went. If I disappeared for 30 minutes, he was crying. Not that I just pulled the disappearing act, but you know what I mean. Like if I went anywhere for 30 minutes, he just couldn't handle it. So it was exhausting for me because I didn't really get to have any me time for 3 weeks back to back, which was really hard. So I blame that on my mental health, because then I became the angry parent, which I hate. I was like the one always going, no, stop doing that. Or I told you to do this. My fuse was short. So I feel like I failed as a parent because I wasn't able to keep him in a routine that was good for him. Although he had a blast, still, you know, the he was out of sync. And then I also failed because I really hate yelling. I don't like being yelled at, and I don't want to be the parent who yells. But I was definitely doing a lot of yelling because I was so tired and frustrated.
Yeah, that maybe was a vacation for him, but that's not a vacation for you.
No, it was not like I said, I don't want to complain about my 3-week trip.
That's what this segment is for.
But it was great to see my family. It was great to see people and go to different places. There were many great moments.
Yeah.
But overall, I think I learned that just being away from home and from his routine for 3 weeks, it's probably not the best idea. I think maybe 2 weeks is a max. And next time, I just need to figure out ways to get him to feel more comfortable, I guess, in new places. I don't know. I mean, this is all new.
Yeah. And I mean, by next year, I feel like he could totally be more comfortable with, you know, the lack of routine. Like it's very much a 2-year-old thing, I think. So like maybe he'll be fine next year.
That's good to know. You give me hope.
Yeah. What's going on with you, Jamila?
Oh, boy. So I've got a fail. And I feel awful about it. So, like, yesterday I picked Naima up from after school, and she's all upset, you know, and she says that she got into it with one of her friends. We'll call her Erin. Erin is a year younger, so she's in third grade. They go to dance together. They're in the school play together. Or school performance, whatever this thing is. It's like a night of dance. And they also go to the same after school program. So they see each other quite a bit. Per Naima, some words were said. They were playing a game or doing something, and they're not getting along. And the girl pushes Naima. you know, and then she pushes her another time and another time, and Naima doesn't push back, but what she does is she responds by cursing at her. You know, she curses her out a little bit, you know, and she says, like, I really didn't want to hurt her, and I am glad for that, because I know Naima can fight. You know, she's got a younger brother. They squabble. Like, Naima, you know, can handle herself in a fight, and so I'm glad that she didn't hurt this other little girl. You know, and that she thought she did, you know, she was like, I didn't want to violate her personal space. What did she say? I didn't want to violate her boundaries by hitting her, so I didn't hit her. And I was like, okay, well, that's really good, you know. But she hit me, and, you know, and she was really upset about it. And so, so that's the version of the story I get from Naima. You know, she cursed at her, and so I call the girl's mom because I'm like, you know, they've got all these activities together. They're going to see each other tomorrow. Today, Tuesday night is dance until 7. Like, we should try to hash this out, you know, like maybe get them on the phone and they can apologize to each other. So get the girls on the phone. Mom's super cool. The other little girl tells Naima she doesn't want to be her friend anymore.
Oh, no.
You know, like, she's still upset. And apparently there was more to the story than what Naima told me. Like, the girl has a babysitter, and she's sensitive about having a babysitter, and she's sensitive about the fact that her mom doesn't usually pick her up, and, you know. And when the babysitter got there, Naima yells out, "Your babysitter's here."
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So she's in her feelings about that, and mm-hmm. she claims Naima had yelled at her before she cursed at her. Naima says, "No, I didn't. You know, she hit me, and then I yelled." And so, whatever it is, this other little girl's upset. So I come back in the room because Naima was in the room by herself on the phone with her, and she's got her head down and she's all upset, and then she just starts crying, and she says she doesn't want to be my friend anymore, and she's my best friend, and I hate myself, and this is my fault. And so I even talked to the other girl's mom again, like, you think we can maybe walk that comment back a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm, and she's mm-hmm. like, you know, she's just in her feelings right now. Why don't we try this again in the morning on the way to school, you know? So I'm like, okay. And so I tell Naima, I fib to her a little bit. I'm like, you know, she still wants to be your friend. She's just upset. You know, I kind of implied that I'd heard the girl say that myself, yeah. you know, fair. Because she just needed peace. Like, right. she was not okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, she still wants to be a friend. Like, little girls go through this all the time. This is very common friendship stuff, you know? And so I spend the night trying to alleviate, you know, assure her that their friendship is still intact, you know. And this morning I call the girl's mom hoping that she's going to be like, hey, it's all good, you know, we're back on track. And she's like, yeah, Erin's still upset, so I think she's going to need a little time. And I'm like, what is wrong with this little fucking girl?
How much time do you need?
How much time do you need? Like, you've been friends for like 3 years. Like, how are you this upset over something so small? You know, and so Naima cried again, and, you know, more of me trying to assure her, like, it's not over, it's fine. She's like, I just want to delete her number and focus on my friends who really love me. And so I was kind of happy that she got out of the sad stage into the angry stage. Like, well, at least we're not crying. Like, you know, you can be mad for now. But, you know, when I dropped her off for school, she was still bummed out, and I just have been worrying about it all day. Like, I don't know what's going to happen when they bump into each other. You know, is this girl not going to speak to Naima? You know, is she going to tell other kids? And Naima was worried about that. Like, she's going to tell other kids that, you know, and then they're going to be mad at me.
That's stressful. I think that was great that you called her mom. Do you, might you be into like a sit down with the two of you and the friend and the mom for some more intentional like mediation, or is that overstepping, do you think?
I would. You know, the mom seemed to think her daughter just needed time, you know, and I didn't want to overstep that.
Right.
You know. And so I'm hoping that, you know, today she'll just have some time to herself and realize she loves Naima and let this go.
Because it's, I mean, it's been how long?
It's just been a day.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. I feel like that's just a welcome into real life. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I feel like that kind of stuff happens in adulthood too.
Yeah.
Where like mm-hmm. people are really just in their feelings. They don't want to talk about it. They want their time. And I think there's a part of me that I identify with your daughter, because I feel like I was the kind of person who got over things a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple situations like that where maybe a friend didn't want to talk to me anymore. And so what I had to learn was that everybody goes through their own process, and they have, and they deserve the right to feel however they feel. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I can't change their mind about how to see me or how to feel about me. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a lifelong journey in friendship to understand that, because I've lost friends as an adult, or I've had fights with friends as an adult, mm-hmm. and then resolved them.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting lesson. For sure.
I think a couple more days, who knows? But I mean, I think that this girl will come around.
I hope so. I hope so. All right. Well, we're going to take another quick break. We'll see you back here in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're back. Let's hear our listener question. Dear Mom and Dad, my toddler licks everything. I mean everything. If she's looking out the window, chances are when she pulls her cute little head back, there will be a tongue mark. She licks railings, counters, and her own clothing, and mine. It's so embarrassing. From the doctor's office to restaurants, she can't keep her tongue off anything. It makes me want to vomit. I've asked her to stop, but I know she is exploring the world and having, as Elizabeth would say, a sensory experience. But I needed to stop. It's gross. Help tasting the world. All right. What say you, Zach?
I totally understand not wanting your kid to lick the doctor floor. That's fair. However, they're a toddler. And I did some research, and like, this is extraordinarily common. So it's a phase, most likely. And, you know, you've probably done your own research, but from what I discovered, there are a number of reasons why they might be licking absolutely everything. One, it's like, it could be a comfort thing. It's just like, this is hearkening back to the comfort of being breastfed. And like our letter writer wrote, it could totally be a sensory thing. Like, this is how toddlers who, you know, can't yet communicate with lots of language, this is how they are interested in experiencing the world. They might see you getting grossed out and be really interested in that. Like, oh, if I lick this, I am getting this reaction from you. So you might try experimenting with the ways in which you react. Maybe you try just to ignore it and you reverse psychologize them out of licking every damn thing. Another reason I read was they might just be mimicking their pet. Do you have a pet? Do you have a dog? Do they love the dog? Do they want to be like the dog? Maybe. Because that's another common thing. And there's a pediatrician that was interviewed in one of the articles I read on Yahoo, Dr. Mona Amin. And she said, like, try to engage their sensory play. This is a form of sensory play, but try to redirect it into, she said, you know, letting them play with shaving cream, paint, edible sand, incorporate activities that work fine motor skills, like feeding pipe cleaners into a strainer or pulling sticky notes off of a wall, stuff like that. Another thing I read is get them a chew toy, you know, or like something that they can suck on that isn't just like pure sugar. And that might hit the spot for them.
I think that is so normal because I remember my kid going through a phase like that where he was licking certain things. But another thing that I noticed he would do was he smelled everything. And to this day, he actually still does when it's something new. Anytime he encounters something new, whether it's edible or not, he smells it first. And with food, when he started eating solids, he would smell every single food first, and then he would put it in his mouth. And so when I read this, I was like, oh my God, this reminds me of that, you know, just having like other senses be included in the experience of learning the world around them. So I liked, you know, your suggestions. I think the reaction has something to do with it maybe as well. But it's really cool to experience the world through your senses. And I think that one of the beautiful things of childhood is that you get to do that without necessarily always being judged because you're a child, so you don't know better. So it's kind of like, it's almost funny to me that the kid is doing that, but I understand the parent is frustrated. I think it's a phase for sure. And they'll definitely outgrow it. But I also think it's so cool that they get to experience the world in that way as well. You know, maybe not the doctor's office floor. That just seems, I understand that.
It's a phase. It's normal. One of the recommendations from Dr. Amin was like to ask the kid, like, how else can we use this object besides licking it? You know, so once they've licked something, you know, maybe pointing out its shiny texture or its grainy feel, you know, you may want to carry some sort of minty. I mean, they can't really do a small hard mint yet, you know, but maybe if you have, what's a good minty thing that a little kid could have? Because I'm like, breath fresh drops, are those going to be too strong, you know? But like, I was going to say, if you were to carry some, you know, emergency flavors with you so that you can redirect, you know, you can offer a snack if it seems that maybe, you know, I'm chasing things because I'm hungry. But honestly, I think it is just a phase, you know, it's their way of exploring the environment around them. And you're just going to have to grin and bear it. You know, one of the other recommendations from the doctor was, you know, as a last resort, ignore the behavior, you know, right. Like don't reinforce it. Don't make a big deal out of it. Ignore it. So, you know, do your best to try and discourage. But if that doesn't work, you might want to just kind of act like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I think for me, reading it was so funny because also reminds me of my childhood being so strict. You know, I grew up in a Mexican household, and culturally, just even sitting on the floor or like laying on the floor is gross. It's like you just don't do that. And we, for example, being barefoot, completely unacceptable. That's how I grew up. And so for me to see that there's a kid out there who's licking everything, oh my God, my parents would have lost their mind if that had been us. Those were just not things that we were ever allowed to do.
Yeah.
So it almost, to me, it's almost like, how cool to be that free, right? Of course, it's kind of gross. Yes, I understand. But I think it takes me back to that moment in childhood where I was not allowed to do certain things that many kids just normally do.
Yeah.
And then grow out of.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully also they're building up their immunity. I have a pacifier addict at my house. My 2-year-old is, but like, if you're desperate, I mean, that's another thing to eventually get them off the passy, but like maybe try sticking a pacifier in their mouth. And Jamila, what you were just suggesting about maybe a mint thing, I just looked up something. There's this stuff called Zolly Pops, the clean teeth pops. This is not, this isn't an advertisement, but there's these anti-cavity lollipops. There's no sugar in them. They're allergy-free. So that might be another option. Like, you know, when they exercise some self-control and, like, reward them with a lollipop, you could try that.
All right. Well, if any of our other listeners have advice for this person, please let us know. Send us a voice memo or email to momanddadislate.com or call 646-357-9318. And that's our show. Please subscribe and leave a rating and review. That helps us add more people into our parenting community. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Mara Curry. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Zach Rosen and Maribel Quesada Smith, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thanks for listening.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.